This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Madeline Brand. What do Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, actor Tommy Lee Jones, and Crown Princess Masako of Japan have in common? They're all Harvard grads. Journalist Ross Gregory Douthat went to Harvard, too, and he writes about his experiences there in his new book, Privilege, Harvard and the Education of the Ruling Class. For our Wednesday book segment, he talked to Day to Day's Karen Grigsby Bates.
It's that time of year again, college acceptance season, and envelopes, fat acceptance ones and skinny rejections, are being stuffed into mailboxes around the country. A select few will come from Harvard University, where, popular mythology has it, the best and the brightest from all levels of society come together in an oasis of meritocracy, at least for a short time. It's that Harvard that's portrayed in 1970s Love Story.
You're a preppy millionaire and I'm a social zero.
What does that have to do with going our separate ways? We're together now, aren't we? We're happy.
Look, Harvard is like this big Santa Claus bag stuffed full of all kinds of crazy toys. But when the holiday is over,
this has been a little bit more than a holiday,
Jenny. You've got to go back where you belong.
You're going back to Cranston, Rhode Island and bake cookies?
The filmic Harvard may bring together bakers' daughters and bankers' sons, but in real life, says Ross Douthat, blue-collar Harvardites are few and far between. And the institution is not so much about intellect as it is about social access.
When you go from being in a high school to being in a college, you suddenly realize that this race, this treadmill that you've been put on by your parents and your college guidance counselors and so on, isn't just about getting you into Harvard. It's about setting you up for the rest of your life.
As Ross Douthat writes in his new book, Privilege, Harvard and the Education of the Ruling Class, the red brick and ivy that's promoted as part of the Harvard brand was certainly there when he entered as a freshman. Even though he grew up in the shadow of Yale, Harvard was the dream goal he worked toward in high school. He envisioned an idyllic community of like-minded studious types communing under spreading oak trees bracketed by the famous red brick buildings in Harvard Yard. So his reaction upon acceptance was as enthusiastic as this one from the 2002 film Stealing Harvard.
You what?
I got accepted into Harvard University.
You're kidding! That's incredible!
I know!
As a child of an affluent, relatively homogenous suburb, Douthat looked forward to the multi-hued society of scholars he saw in Harvard's glossy catalogs and on its website.
You come to Harvard and Harvard makes a great big deal about how you're surrounded by the most diverse cross-section of students possible from all walks of life, from all around the world. And at first blush, this appears to be true because Harvard does a great job of cosmetic diversity. I mean, Harvard says, oh, we have kids here from every state in the union, but really that means one kid from Mississippi, five kids from Kentucky, four kids from Indiana, and 250 kids from Massachusetts.
But even the economically secure minority students sometimes felt marginalized at Harvard, and their preferred method of coping made Harvard administrators itchy.
Just a few years before I came to Harvard, for instance, they abolished the old system of residential living where people got to pick what upper-class house they lived in for their sophomore, junior, and senior years, because what was happening was all of the black students were choosing to live in two specific houses, which were far away from everybody else and were often referred to as the upper-class ghetto, which was a fairly embarrassing thing for Harvard to have its black students self-segregating into something people called a ghetto.
And it wasn't just the black or Asian or gay students who were self-segregating. Douthat says a less obvious but more potent kind of tribalism existed in the network of Harvard clubs. They caused another kind of competition.
Well, the social life's like any other part of Harvard because the culture of competition is so strong. People compete fiercely not only for good grades and good jobs, but also for places in the social pecking order.
In one, he goes on a group outing to a vast estate in the countryside near Boston. It's the home of a successful Harvard alumnus who was a member of the same club as an undergrad. The implicit message of the evening? This could be you in 25 years.
So people perceive the clubs, and this may not always be the case, but people certainly see it that way. Joining a club not only gives you a good social life at Harvard, but it can help set you up for your future.
And although he ultimately wasn't tapped by this elite group, Douthat's membership in Harvard's alumni ranks makes him a member of a pretty exclusive club nonetheless, one that will engender privilege, or the perception of it, for the rest of his life. Which doesn't mean he won't take some ribbing about that from time to time.
Most of the Harvard jokes you hear, though, when you're a Harvard graduate, aren't jokes so much as whenever you do something wrong, all of your friends will immediately chorus, "And you went to Harvard."
Hey, as that other old joke goes, you can tell a Harvard man, but you can't tell him much. Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News, Los Angeles.